The interviews and discussions on this podcast are opinions only and not financial or investment advice. Listeners should obtain independent advice based on their own circumstances before making any financial decisions. Hello and welcome to this edition of Stockhead's Rock Yarn. To bring us up to date with the latest in all things relating to Venture Minerals, especially its Jupiter Rare Earths project, we're delighted to welcome back its Managing Director, Andrew Radonjic. Welcome, Andrew. The company's got a new chairman bringing a special suite of skills. Can you just tell us about your new board appointment?
Yeah, certainly will. Peter, good to be back again talking to you. And it's, we're very fortunate to get our new chair, Tim Lindley, his caliber of an experience in investment banking brings a whole heap of new relationships at the institutional level to venture, and certainly exposes Jupiter to that avenue of funding as we progress the project moving forwards, as we hope to do. And certainly by Tim joining the team, and certainly, you know, he's currently with Deep Yellow, he clearly sees the opportunity, and it gives, I suppose, Jupiter a big tick in the box from his perspective, and no doubt his followers will take note.
Yeah, it's always good for junior resource companies to have an accountant and a lawyer and someone who knows a little bit about the market, because you can spend all day talking to your peers and other geologists and so forth, but really the people you need to get to through your chairman is going to be the investment community, who will see, no doubt, as you continue to deliver drill results, they'll see the opportunity. So rare earths, I mean, the company's made a bit of a sort of a detour to rare earths from its gold and iron ore and copper interests. Can you tell us about what's happening in the market from your point of view for rare earths? And, you know, we've seen some improvement, I think, recently.
I suppose we're a little bit behind a lot of the rare earth companies that sort of popped up in this, particularly in this clay-hosted sort of space over the last couple of years. And, you know, and our discovery is really just on a bit of luck, to be honest with you. We, you know, we were drilling there in Tasmania on our tin project, Mount Lindsay, long strike from Renison, and we come up with this fluoro mineral, which was orange, not blue like scheelite, and we went, we'll zap that with a portable XRF, and we come up with rare earths, and didn't volumetrically add to anything, but we got interested in the clay host variety, so we started, we pegged, some geological survey, very high assay results of nearly 2,000 ppm sitting at Brothers, which is just to the north of, which is part of the, Jupiter's part of that project, but at the Jupiter target was only like 10 kilometres to the south, but that one is a connection, not still time, it will tell, but back then the rare earth market was, we've made a discovery when it's at its lows, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. And, you know, we're starting to see, and people are looking for value in the rare earth sector. And we really just wanted to be, I suppose, working on a project. And I've been in the game for over 35 years, that you want to be, concentrating your efforts on an asset which is going to be world-class. And we just think in the clay-hosted space, we've got that. We've got the scale. We've almost ticked that box just on the Jupiter target, which is 40 square kilometres. And in terms of grey, we're well above our peers in Australia.
Andrew, the project's like located between Mount Magnet and Geraldton, sort of a bit closer to Mount Magnet, I guess, just for the listener.
That's correct. It's sort of, if you know Western Australia, between Yalgoo and Mount Magnet. So we're about 300 kilometres by bitumen to the port of Geraldton. So we've got a gas pipeline there. So we're very well located.
Yeah. So just tell us about, you picked up this Jupiter project. It's a joint venture. What are the details of your earn-in procedure there?
Like I was saying, we sort of picked up the ground, and we found that there was some drill holes drilled by an individual co-funding from the state government to test a carbonatite target, a Linus or Mount Weld target. And he drilled two 61-meter-deep holes, 200 metres apart on the very coarse data, and he didn't deliver the sort of results you'd expect at Mount Weld, but he had over 2,000 ppm sitting in the clays. And back in 2020, he didn't recognise that opportunity, dropped the tenement, was picked up by a private gold company, and we did the JV with them. And that JV involves spending $250,000 to get to 51% and another $500,000 to get to 70%. We'd achieved that by Christmas time last year. So we're at 70. We need to go to get to 90. We need a feasibility study completed. And we have the option to buy them out 100%. So we're in that 70% position at the moment. So it's a reasonably soft earn-in and up to this point so far.
And the location, I think from my point of view, it's an interesting location because you're in the goldfields, whereas a lot of the clay-hosted deposits that have been coming up recently are really in the wheat belt. And you just think the environmental approvals process in the wheat belt and some of these sensitive southwestern areas is going to be a lot more difficult than it would be where you are.
Oh, exactly. We love the location from a permitting perspective. We were staying a few weeks ago. We're up on site. They were mustering that 800 head of cattle. It's pretty sparse. There's not, we didn't. I didn't see any cattle out there when we were there. But traversing the 40 square kilometre target. But there's scrub, there's trees, maybe up to 3 metres high. It's very sparse, and yet we're very close to infrastructure and there's no current granted native title. There's no endangered species. It's for all intents and purposes, it's a great place to build a mine. And it's just, if you've ever been to the Midwest or Western Australia, just the landscape. It's flat. You occasionally see a hill, and it's a great place to build a mine. So certainly in the permitting side of things, there doesn't seem to be any initial challenges. All drilling permits are very quick. All tenements are granted quickly. So far, so good, Peter. To be honest with you.
So the typical sort of mining operation would be to sort of push aside the topsoil and save that. Your mineralization goes down to sort of 40, 50 meters maximum, and then you can basically rehabilitate it with the material you've saved from the push aside.
Well, exactly. It's a very, very standard process. And I drove past Deflector and Golden Grove, and I think they're mostly underground mines in both cases. But it's fairly sort of standard practice. And the thing about I like about this location is that we're not going to mine a 40 square kilometre pit, as some people are thinking, but we can mine lots of much smaller pits. Initially, there might be only 1 square kilometre, for example, which have 50 million tons in them even. But instead of, we can truck. We got product that we can sell to Iluka and put into their refinery. We've basically got to bar the first 20 kilometres of the highway. We've got bitumen all the way, about 250 kilometres to Eneabba, or we can put it onto the Mount Magnet Road and head it towards Laverton or even Kalgoorlie, depending on how much beneficiation we do if we go down that path.
So, Andrew, you've done quite a bit of drilling and you've come up with some pretty spectacular assays for this style of mineralization. And you've got some more assays in the pipeline, which you expected later this month. Is that the case?
Yeah, we've got the first stage one of the resource definition drill program, all the results back, including that record result of 48 meters at over 3,000 ppm TREO, total rare earth oxides. And we've got all the results from that first stage program of 5,000 meters, but we've just completed stage two, which was 14,000 meters, 246 holes, all air core, just drilling down to the top of the fresh rock. And so it happened in the space of about 4 weeks. So all the samples are in the lab. We're expecting the first release of very, very soon. So hopefully we'll get more of the same, Peter. That's the idea.
So, Andrew, what's the major value drivers in the assemblage you've got? Is it the normal sort of neodymium praseodymium, or is there something else that's adding value to your rare earth assemblage?
Well, certainly the scale of it is we're seeing pockets or areas, and again, when these pockets are quite significant, tens of millions of tons potentially, but we're seeing NdPr is very is elevated always, and obviously in high grade areas it's more elevated. But we're seeing in some of the areas development of your dysprosium, terbium, samarium, and these sort of other heavies that are in other areas. So that's kind of be the focus for us, where we've employed a doctor in geometallurgy, and we're going through an ore characterization at the moment to try and work out the different ore types or mineralization types, and then said once done the mineralogy, send that material to ANSTO, for example. We believe it's ionic, or to other beneficiation processes depending on success. So because of the scale of it, Peter, we've got several opportunities at getting some of those rare earths that everyone's one wanting and of high value.
So that was leads on to my next question, Andrew, because the metallurgy, I know you're at a very early stage, but I understand the metallurgy for these oxide deposits is fairly simple. It's a dilute acid dissolving, and then you concentrate your rare earths. Have you done any test work, or is that still to happen?
Still, the first part of it is the ore characterization work I just spoke about. First, any metallurgist will ask, well, what are your minerals? And that sort of guides them. Otherwise, if you don't know your mineralogy, then you're sort of you're guessing, and you don't want to be doing that. But certainly, if we can get that sort of low cost ionic type of mineralogy, then we could have a plant that does that, for example, at site, and we could have another plant that does, if it's a beneficiation scenario, that concentrates and sends it to either of those two refineries. So plenty of options open. We certainly need more information, but because this discovery's happened very, very quickly, and we've got 112 holes in it now, we're soon going to have 360 holes of data. We're gonna know a lot more in a very short space of time.
Well, it's exciting time. So, I mean, you've sort of popped out, you've talked about tens of millions of tons, but do you actually have an exploration target calculated at the moment, or how big do you think this thing could be?
Well, the way we look at it is, one is we're focused on getting over 2,000 ppm. We are getting consistently 20 to 30 meter thicknesses of plus over 2,000 ppm. So if you sort of did the maths and said you had 40, and that's over 40 square kilometers, you had 40 square kilometers times even 20 times by just under two, you're talking around about that sort of 1.5 billion tons. So we're certainly expecting to get plus 1 billion tons at over 2,000 ppm. That's sort of internally our thoughts on the target, and I think it's there for all to see in terms of the results, and I think most people would be in agreement to that. But we'll get CSA Global to crunch numbers for us with an independent sign off in the next couple of months.
So this project is quite close to your Golden Grove North permits as well, isn't it?
Well, that's correct, and we've got a rare earth target there as well, which is a 12.5% rock chip result, sitting there. And as part of the earn-in sensor, which has now become Premier One Lithium, is to drill that target for us. We're hoping that'll be towards the middle of the year as well. And that's that's Golden Grove North has obviously got VMS potential like Golden Grove itself with 29M, and also has lithium potential has been identified by the team at Sensor there as well, which before they spun it out and put it into Premier One Lithium. So yeah, we look forward to them using that AI technology to deliver some exciting targets and hopefully some new discoveries there.
So back in Tasmania, you mentioned Mount Lindsay, which is you've got this high grade tin core of high grade tin with tungsten, and you've also found a boron there.
Well, that's correct. Once you get outside of the high grade tin, which is the tin oxide cassiterite, the tin sits in a mixed up with an iron borate mineral, and these iron borate minerals, which are obviously main ingredients are iron boron, or particularly boron, sorry, is what in China and Russia, the same type of mineralization is used to produce the third largest amount of the world's boric acid, and they produce 60% iron con. And CSIRO found out in the stage one work that we can recover the tin as well. We've gone stage two with Curtin, who are part of the Trailblazer Hub, which is part of the critical mineral funding from the federal government. So we've gone down that pathway. We've got a couple of post-grad hydrometallurgical students, one in Kalgoorlie, one in Perth, who are currently working on that. And I need to note that that the guys in Kalgoorlie do work for Lynas for their Kalgoorlie refinery. So there's a connection down the rare earth side of things as well. But yeah, they're working on that work, looking to, I suppose, to a degree, reverse engineer what happens in China and Russia and produce a tin con, iron con, and hopefully a saleable boron product. So that will bring all that material that's outside of the high grade tin zone into a mine plan, and that's why we're holding up the underground study because of that, because it's going to have a potentially could double or triple the potential reserve base.
Yeah, and with tin and currently just on $32,000 a ton, this is all looking a little bit better for you.
Oh, what, especially the exchange rate, Peter.
Yeah, well, $32,000, it's like, yeah, what does that work? So 55 or something Aussies. So now, your Riley Iron project, which did produce a small amount of product at $119 US a ton, even with a discount for the grade, that's still a valuable asset. You're looking at basically monetizing that asset at the moment?
Yeah, that's correct. We've had Argonaut PCF assist for that process. We've had a fair bit of interest. We've looked at all options, through, financing, whether venture would like to go and reopen the mine itself, or a JV, or 100% buyout. So yeah, we've sort of been going through that process since about January. So it's yeah, it looks it's quite advanced at the moment, and we're hoping to unlock that value shortly.
So, what other things are happening in the? You've got a nice portfolio of assets along in the Gawler Craton, in the not the Gawler Craton, in the Yilgarn Craton.
Yes, well, we've got besides the JV we spoke about with Sensor slash Premier One Lithium, there's the JV with Chalice down in the Southwest Project near Manjimup. Last reported that they were looking at the lithium potential in a bit more detail, and we initially did have a look at the lithium as well, and we got the Coolum project, which is sort of located obviously near the town of Coolum in the Wheat Belt, and that's got gold target, which you hit 18 meters at 0.6 grams per ton of gold beneath a soil anomaly, quite deep actually.
Yeah.
It's we draw that
So,
previous down.
Andrew, you've got obviously these assay results from Jupiter and the surrounding areas coming through. What's the news flow really do you expect for the next 6 months till the end of the year, really, for Venture now on its projects?
Well, look, most of the focus will be on Jupiter, very clearly. There'll be a lot of news flow results from the second stage program between now and middle of the year. There'll be some metallurgical results, and then there'll be the release of the maiden resource, and then beyond that, we'll be looking to go to the next phase, where we do from an inferred resource to indicated in the higher grade or areas with the right rare earths that people are chasing, the heavies and the magnet rare earths. And then we'll just progress the metallurgical studies clearly, and then start looking at all the things you do in the feasibility engineering studies, the flora and fauna surveys, heritage surveys, all those sort of things. We'll need to partner that as we're heading towards an updated resource, and then a scoping study.
Fantastic.
And that, but we may get results. Obviously, there might be an outcome on a Riley process, and obviously there will be updated news on the Mount Lindsay network.
Yeah. Well, the Jupiter project seems to have excellent access to infrastructure, and in that respect, I think would be quick to get through the permitting process. So we'll watch very closely as you characterise that ore body and do the required metallurgy, and then you might have people knocking on the door wanting to partner with you, I'd expect.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing at all, Peter.
Okay.
Good to see.
All right. Well, Andrew, thanks for coming into Stockhead today to talk to us at Rock Yarn, and we'll look forward to getting those assays when they pass across your desk in the next couple of weeks.
Excellent. Well, thanks again, Peter. It's been great talking to you again.